this morning we have our administrative bishop, Doyle Roberts and Sylvia, and Iris, and your mom, yes, your mom, that are here as our special guests. So we're really honored to have you, and we've had a little time of fellowship with them yesterday, and we're really excited about what the Lord is going to do in the Northwest, and that God has sent you here, and we know you carry that anointing, so we're delighted to have you, and we want to welcome you as you come and share the word with us this morning, whatever the Lord would put on your heart. Here you go, brother. Come on. Yeah.
What an honor it is to be here this morning. It doesn't take long to tell what the atmosphere is in the church when it comes to visiting someone. And yesterday, after we finished having dinner with your pastors, I said there's a strong prophetic influence in this church. And then when I came in this morning, I also, if you don't mind, give me a little bit more on the mic. I recognize there's also a Jewish flair in the church. I almost felt like I was in Israel a couple of times. Amen. Back in our church of 22 years, we had liturgical worship, and those are our praise dancers, and they would have their flags and you know. And it is Jewish, if you will. You can bring it down a little bit. But anyway, you could tell, you could just feel the presence of Lord and the welcoming of Yeshua, Messiah, amen, in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I was prepared to go in one direction. I was going to talk to you about the Battle of Gog Magog and where we are in Bible prophecy. But last night in my prayer time, as I just, right before going off to sleep, I prayed and said, Lord, what do you want me to bring? And I do believe I'm on assignment. So if you would stand with me all over the house of the Lord, and let's go to the reading of God's word. Turn with me this morning in the book of Matthew. And let me just say, we are praying for revival in the Pacific Northwest. Amen. We're believing for revival in the Pacific Northwest, and we are experiencing mighty moves of God all across the Pacific Northwest. I'm hearing good reports from all the different ministers, and it's good to see what God is doing here in your ministry, in your church. So would you let your pastor, and we call them first ladies of the house, would you let them know how much we appreciate them? Put your hands together and tell them thank you so much. 16 years, right? 16 years of ministry here. And so thank you for your service. I want to remind you that June the 16th through the 19th in Pasco, Washington, we're going to be having our annual camp meeting. Everyone is invited to come to those services. And we'd love to see you come be a part of that. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 14. I want to talk to you this morning about just one touch. And then talk to you about Peter walks on water. You ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 23. And I believe they have it on the screen. Reading from the New King James Version. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Would you pray for me and pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. We ask, God, over the next few moments, that God, that you anoint us with the anointing to proclaim and deliver your word. God, I ask that, Lord, whoever needs a touch from you today, all of us do, but God, specifically, there are people who've come here today needing a word from you. And God, you're going to speak to each one of us individually right where we are. And God, I believe that, God, there's going to be things that you're going to say to people that are not even in the message because you're a very personal God in that manner. And so, Lord, speak to us individually. And God, when it comes time for us to pray at the altar, I pray that our hearts would be prepared, our minds open, our spirit ready to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I believe every one of us can say that there have been moments in our lives where we have found ourselves in situations where we've wondered, how in the world am I going to get through this season of life? It's those moments where it hinders your sleep. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and you can't go to sleep. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's 5 o'clock in the morning and you're saying to yourself, I've got to get some rest. It's that place where you're praying and you're asking God for divine wisdom that will offer you a clear directive as to what God specifically wants you to do about this particular storm that you're going through in your life. It's those moments when you were on assignment and you knew that you were at the right place, you were at the right time, you're doing the right thing with the right people, and then it's as if a storm just appears out of nowhere. And it's in the storm you wonder, not only how am I going to get through this storm, but how did I get here in the first place? It's that place where there's no other way to say it, but the storm just caught you off guard. Has anyone else ever been there before? Say amen. Better yet, is there anyone in a storm right now? If you're in a storm right now, just raise your hand all over the house of the Lord. Well, if you've been there or if you're currently in a place that we typically identify as a storm, then may I tell you that you're in a good place to receive a touch from the Master today. Can I get an amen? Amen. And in another story, there's a woman at the well who had an encounter with Jesus, and it was through that one encounter that she came to the realization that the one that she was talking to was the one that would give her water that would cause her to never, ever thirst again. And it was through that encounter that she experienced a touch from God that caused her to become an evangelist to her own people, and they too would be saved. This woman, though she had heard teachers teach about Jacob's well, she had never met the true giver of the well. But on that particular day, just with just one touch, her life would be changed by just one touch from the Master. However, just because you know the one who gives the water on the inside that causes eternal life does not mean that you will never, ever go through a storm again. So what do you do? What do you do when there's water that brings life not only to your flesh but also to your spirit? What do you do when you've experienced the water of life but now it's as if the Creator God that gave Jacob's well and the water therein, this same God that gave the spiritual water that caused you to never thirst again. What do you do when the same water that you can dip your bucket into and the draw water to strengthen you when you were thirsty becomes the same source of trial and tribulation? The question is, what do you do in the middle of the storm? Well, that's exactly where the disciples find themselves. Peter and the disciples, unlike this woman, were already followers of Jesus, but they'd been given instructions to go into a boat and go to the other side. And while Jesus goes up on a mountain to pray all alone, may I ask, would you have liked to been with Jesus on the side of the mountain? Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall, if you will, or on the rock? And wouldn't you like to know what did Jesus pray? What did the Father say to Jesus while he was on the mountain alone with him? Was this a setup for Jesus to teach the disciples something? I mean, was it a setup that possibly appeared to be a tear down? I mean, really, was Jesus and the Father discussing what was about to take place in the storm below? Was this another tool that God would use to build the disciples' faith? Well, if there is one thing I know for certain, this storm didn't take Jesus by surprise, but it took the disciples by surprise. And may I remind us all that many of them were fishermen, if you will, and they could tell when the weather was going to get bad, and they would not have typically gone in that boat knowing that a storm was coming. However, for the disciples, it's evident for them that it did take them by surprise, because they would have never started the journey if it seemed as if a storm was brewing. And so in reality, I believe all of us, if we know a storm is coming, or if we know a difficult season is coming in our life, more than likely we probably say, I don't want to go down that road. Listen, if I would have known all the hell and all the storms that I would go through in ministry, I'm not sure I would have gotten in the boat either. Can I get an amen? In other words, sometimes God shows you the Z, in other words, where he's taken you, and he shows you the A, but he doesn't show you the B, C's, and D's of everything you've got to go through in order to get to the Z. Let me just share with you real quick a testimony, if you will. At the 2024 summer camp meeting in South Carolina, we were praying, and we were asking God for clarity on some things in our life, when out of nowhere, and I'll just share it with you, we felt like a shift was taking place in our life. We felt like God was going to call us to do this kind of work, if you will, but we weren't sure, for 100% sure. So I'm a Gideon type of guy. I like to throw a fleece out before the Lord, and so God works with me that way, and you know what? He always affirms and confirms. And so I'm there. I'm minding my own business. We've had an altar call. We've had a prayer line. It seems like the altar call is coming to an end, and I'm still praying for people around the altar call. When Pastor Tommy Bates, some of you know Pastor Tommy Bates, he's a well-known preacher in on the east side of the country. And so I was praying, I was asking God for clarity on some things when Pastor Tommy Bates called me out, and this is on June the 10th, 2024, and this is the first thing he said. He said, "Are you still pastoring?" Now keep in mind, my church people are there. I mean, all of my brothers in ministry are there, and it was like E.F. Hutton spoke, and you know, it's like everything just got quiet. And they were, and you know, why would you ask me that question? Are you still pastoring? I said, yes. And then he said, are you staying? In front of thousands of people, he said, are you staying? I said, only God knows. And then he said, I don't know where you're going to be, but God told me to tell you that I'm not finished with you yet. Brother Cooper, where's Brother Cooper? Raise your hand. Brother Cooper, right here. But Brother Cooper back there, he started prophesying over us, and immediately he took me back to June the 10th on that particular day. And he said, I am not finished with you yet. And he said that, and this is what he said. Don't you love it when you're in a storm and you're not really sure where God has taken you, but then God begins to speak to you prophetically. And he says that God has preserved you for this hour. Then he said, I don't know what God is going to do or where he is going to do it. And notice he didn't say, I'm keeping you at your church, but he wants you to get fresh oil. In other words, he says, I want you to get a fresh touch from God because you're going into, get this, dark places. He said, God is going to take you into darker places. I'm talking about places of evil that you've never witnessed before, not to kill you, but God is going to give you fresh oil, and you're going to be able to navigate through this dark mess. Then it happened. He laid hands on me. I fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the pulpit's here, and it's a large auditorium, large stage. And I'm laying behind the podium right here. I laid there for 15 to 20 minutes. I got up to get off the stage and moved over to this area of the platform, if you will, where the state council would sit. And before I could make it to the chair, I fell again. 10 more minutes on the floor. And while on the floor, this is what I told God. I said, I don't know how much more I can take. I said, my family has been under attack for years, and if I'm going into dark places like I've never witnessed before, I told him I needed his help, and that I didn't want to go in it without him because I couldn't go through it without him. Now listen, we don't like the storms. We don't like a prophecy. We don't like it when someone comes and says you're getting ready to go in a storm. We don't like that at all. The next morning on June the 11th, through text message, I expressed thanks for his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit because God had used Tommy Bates previously on another occasion to read my mail. He said, and this was his response. He says, I was so troubled about the second part that you needed the fresh oil because of the darkness that you will walk through. So when I was praying this morning, trying to get a little more clarity, the emphasis is on the desperate need to rely on the light of the Spirit and not on the light of the natural knowledge. So here's what I've come by, and listen, I've come by to tell someone this morning, it may be that you know all about God, but sometimes we've got to get to the point where we've got to get out of our knowledge and we've got to rely upon His Spirit, His power. Amen. And this is what he goes on to say. He says, the darkness is only the backdrop that shows how desperately needed the light will be. And he says, it didn't mean that you were going into a den of devils or into a place of evil, but that the place you were going or whatever you do, the light of the presence of God will determine your success through the darkness. Now listen to me. That message is not just for me. That message is for every person who's in this sanctuary this morning. Listen, if there's one thing that we have to rest our lives upon, we have to rest our lives upon. The Lord told us to go to the other side. He told us to get in the boat. And listen, He knew a storm was going to come. But if He says, I'm going to put you in the boat and to go to the other side, then guess what? He's going to get you to the other side. Can I get an amen? In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, he says this, in all of your ways, what? Acknowledge him, and what will he do? He will direct your path. Listen to me. If God put you there, he will get you out of there, wherever there is. Because listen, whenever Peter stepped out of that boat, he was a desperate man. The disciples had struggled in their boat all night against a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus wasn't with them. He had sent them off in their boat while he went up on a mountain to pray. Let me ask you, have you been there? Have you been in a season where it seemed like this is the one that could be the one that takes you down? Or maybe it could be the one that takes you out. Have you been in a place where the storms rage and it seems as if morning is never going to come? Matthew reports that the storm lasted until early morning. Translated, it literally means the fourth watch of the night, which was between the hours of 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. By then, Peter and the other disciples were wet. They were cold. They were exhausted. They were wondering if they were going to survive the night because they had nothing left to give. Anybody ever been there? Listen, I'm sure that there are many here this morning where you found yourself in a desperate place. And if you have, then this story is for you. So if you don't mind, just go with me for a moment. I mean, really, if you don't mind, just put yourself there in the setting, if you will. These men had just left Jesus. They had watched him perform miracle after miracle. And they find themselves in their boat being tossed by the wave. So picture with me, if you will, we're all in the boat. The water's coming over the side of the ship. The water's getting deeper and deeper. The wind is blowing them off course and their lives are in jeopardy. Let me ask you, can you see it? Can you imagine it in your spirit? Can you imagine being in that boat and things are not getting any better? The next question I would ask you is, can you hear it? Can you hear the cry of the disciples? Can you hear the mumbling between each one of them? Hey, get a bucket. Dump some water out. Amen. Take the sails down. Hold on, guys. But this time, listen, it's not their boat. It's in reality what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to put you in the boat. I'm trying to tell you this is your boat. It's your storm. It's the rain is not beating on them. Now the rain is beating on you. It's beating against you and you're in the middle of the storm. I could faintly hear their muffling cries to one another as they shout, "Hang on." I could hear them shout, "Don't let go." And in that setting, it is a scene of desperation. It is a fourth watch story. If God does not come in right now, I do not know what the outcome is going to be. It's about a storm that seems like it's not going to end. It's about people who've reached the point of exhaustion. They're at their last hope. It's about you. It's about me when we've come to the end of our own strength. It's about that moment when you realize that without a touch from the Master, that you're not going to make it. It's that place where you've exhausted all human effort. It's that place where you realize that you need a supernatural gift of faith that will cause what's going on in the natural to be overtaken by the supernatural, by God, that a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It's that moment of stepping out with bold faith to walk on the very thing that was seemingly meant for your destruction. And so I'm looking for some people that are ready to step out on your troubles and to walk on them into victory. He said, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means hurt you." So listen, I don't care if it's a scorpion. I don't care whatever it is. He's given us power. I don't care if it is water. He's given us power to walk on it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? And so it was for Peter. When he stepped out of the boat, he was a desperate man. Let me ask us all, how desperate are we? In your storm right now, how desperate are you? We know that Peter was a man of faith. He was a big mouth disciple. And he was looking for a way to get out of the boat of destruction. Is anybody else here that's looking for a way to get out of the boat of destruction? And so it was. By faith, when Jesus declared himself the disciples, "It is I, do not be afraid," that something stirred inside the Apostle Peter to say something that no one else in the boat would say. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." I mean, really, Peter, I mean, really, I can hear the disciples. All of a sudden they said, "What?" I mean, they said, what did he just say? Did he say, "Walk on water"? I mean, really, Peter, have you lost your mind? I mean, really, you're going to walk on the very thing that seems to be your demise. Can you imagine some of the other disciples saying, "Boy, he's about to jump out of the very thing that's been keeping him alive into the thing that has arose to destroy him, and he's going to walk on that"? I mean, really, I can almost hear some of them saying, "What did he say?" I mean, really, again, they said, did he really say, "Walk on water"? Listen, I believe that in desperate moments, faith is available to stretch us to see our full potential in Christ. In other words, we decrease that he might increase. Do you know what I've come to realize? I've come to realize that it's in times of desperation that we often discover mustard seed faith that can move mountains. Therefore, it can move. If it can move a mountain, then water is not an issue for God. In other words, just perhaps it's in moments like today that you hear the voice of God speaking, and it's at that moment where you realize that you have more faith than you thought that you had. But far too often, it's at the moment when we're exhausted. It's that moment when we're spent. It's that moment where we feel like we're defeated. And we're saying in your mind, "I'm done. It's all over." That all of a sudden, someone says something that is a word from God, from his scripture. And something begins to leap on the inside, like at the salutation of Mary coming to see Elizabeth. Something begins to jump on the inside that says, "I can get through this because God is not done with you yet." Look to your neighbor and tell them, "God is not done with you yet." It's that moment when we finally get ourselves out of the way and God comes in the storm and he lets us know, "I've had my eyes on you all along." And when that happens, that's the place where the Lord pulls a level of faith out of us that we didn't realize that we could fully experience. And just as he did with the Apostle Peter during that early morning storm, it was dark, it was dreary, it was cold, and they were worn out when they heard the Lord say, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." I've come by to tell someone today, take heart because the Lord is here. Do not be afraid. Today, you're hearing it from the voice of his servant. However, let me make it perfectly clear that though it may be my voice, it's not me that is speaking to you. It is God that is speaking to you. And sometimes he speaks through an epiphany of nature. Sometimes you're outside and all of a sudden you see the beauty of his splendor and you see the sun rise in the morning. You see the moon come up at night and say, "God, if you can control all of that, then my situation is really small." Sometimes he speaks in the silence of the night in a hospital room when nobody else is there in the room. You just got bad news and all of a sudden you're laying there in the bed all by yourself and God speaks to you and God says, "Don't worry. I've got my eyes on you." Amen. Sometimes it's heard in the words of a song. Salvation has a face. Salvation has a name. And all of a sudden you say, "You know what? I'm not sure if I'm saved, but now all of a sudden I realize Jesus is my Savior. And it is a song that wakes you up. It's not a word that's being preached, but it's a song. And all of a sudden, something happens in the depths of your spirit where you're awakened. It's like someone who's asleep and he shakes you and he wakes you up. And you say, yeah, I need to accept him as my Lord and Savior. But a lot of times what I've come to find out, it's the promises that are found in the scriptures. It's that place where our faith is stirred. And so if you're in need of a miracle in your life, all you have to do is go to the Word, find your situation in the Word. And if God performed the miracle for them in the Word, then guess what? The same God who did it for them is the same God who can do it for you. Can I get an amen? And when I've come to find out, when I find myself in the Word, something begins to shift in the depth of my spirit that shouts like a roaring lion from within. Somehow God is going to get me through this, because if God can do it, if you don't find it in the Word, but most of the time you will, 100% really, you'll find yourself in the Word. Look at somebody else who's gone through a trial and a tribulation in their life. And if they can testify God brought them through, guess what? If God can bring them through, He'll bring you through as well. I wish someone would declare right now, amen. I wish someone would shout it out like right now that God's going to bring me through in Jesus' name. Why don't you just tell Him right now, God's going to bring me through in Jesus' name. I don't know how and I don't know when, but somehow God's going to bring me through this trial in the name of Jesus. Say it one more time. God's going to bring me through. I'm going to get through this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Say it one more time. I'm coming through this storm in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So once we get to that point, that's when we step out of the boat. That's when we step out and we step on the storm. That's when we throw ourselves completely on the mercy of God. That's the place that we release and put total trust in Him. It's that place where we surrender to the Lord's care and keeping. It's that place where we believe that no matter what, I will make it through in Jesus' name. Amen. I recently read a story about a missionary that felt a call to go to China to teach. And as she began the journey to fulfill the calling, she began to panic. She began to think, how will I provide for myself? Will I be able to learn the language? And what will the response of the people be? And one night, she fell off to sleep, deeply troubled by all these things she pondered in her mind. When she had, all of a sudden, she had a vivid dream. And in that dream, she was standing in the middle of the ocean all by herself, with nothing but a small plank underneath her feet at water level, supporting her as she stood on that plank. When she heard a voice that said to her, walk to China. Her response was, I can't. There's nothing else around me. I'm not able to walk on water. And if I try, I will surely drown. But the voice repeated to her one more time, walk to China. In obedience, what she did was she lifted her foot, she put it forward, and it was at that moment in her dream that as she touched the surface of the water, that another plank, like the one that she was standing on, appeared out of nowhere. And so it was with every step that she took that another plank would rise to the surface to support her so she could arrive at the place where God had called her to teach. I'm not sure who I'm talking to this morning, but I hear God saying to someone this morning, just take another step. Did you hear that this morning? Just look to your neighbor and tell them, just take another step. Take another step of faith. It's God that is calling you and He's telling you, get out of your comfort zone. I know it looks bad. I know it looks overwhelming, but we serve a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So what He's doing, and He is saying, take another step. Let's say it one more time. Say it to yourself. If no one else tells you, just say it to yourself. Take another step. Amen. Take one more step. Go another another day, go another mile, go another week, go another month, go another year, because it's in these moments that if we'll just take one day at a time. That's my theme song. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Amen. Just one day at a time. If you'll get me through this one, that's scripture, by the way. If we just worry about today, not tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Just take one step at a time. So it's right there in the midst of the waves. But Jesus said, they're wondering, how can we get through another day that the plank of God's mercy surfaces from the deep of the water that supports us? And yet Peter has doubts. He says, Lord, bid me to come. And he steps out and he's walking on water. And what he does, he gets his eyes off of Jesus. And he gets his eyes back on the storm. And he begins to sink. You know, we make it so complicated. But in reality, it's not that complicated. It's so simple. When we keep him in our sight, and we get our eyes off of the world, somehow, some way, something stirs in the depths of our being, or the well of water just keeps flowing that keeps us doing the work that he's called us to do. And we look back days and weeks and months and years to come, and we say, look at what God has done. How many of you still believe that all things are possible to them that believe in God? Amen. Listen, Peter was to walk on the water, but yours and mine are simply to walk on the storms of life that come our way. Another story that I recently read about was about a flight from New York to Chicago. During a flight between New York and Chicago, the captain announced over the plane's intercom, our number 4 engine has just been shut off because of mechanical trouble. And here's what he goes on to say. There's nothing to worry about. He said, we can still finish the flight with just 3 engines. Besides, you can rest assured to know that we have 4 passengers on board. One passenger called the flight attendant and said, would you please go to the captain and tell him I'd rather have 4 engines? than 4 passengers. Most of us are like those passengers, that passenger. We would rather have something in the natural than to have something in the spiritual. But in reality, the spiritual is far more real than the natural. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will last forever. And so when God speaks, and when the storms are surging and the wind is blowing and all Hades is breaking loose in your life, it's just with one glance at the Master. And you feel like, you know what? I've walked on this a little bit. I felt like I had control of it, but now I'm seeking again. And you know what he does? He just reaches out and he grabs you by the hand and he puts you back in the boat. And what happens next? The storms cease and you get to the other side. He said, you're going to the other side anyway. If he said you're going, guess what? You're going to get there. But sometimes you have to go through that stuff in order to get to the other side. You know, sometimes we pray for God to get us out of the storm. Sometimes there's things we have to learn in the storm. We don't like the fire when we go through the fire. We don't like the hammering process when we go through the purification process. But in reality, it's the fire. It's the storms that make us better. That's really what causes us to become. I've learned more about God in my storms than I've learned on the mountaintop. Because it's in the valley is where I have to look up and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this. in my own strength. I can't do it in my own power. I need your help. But all it takes is just a touch from the Master. Amen. And whatever storm you're going through, He can get you through it. And if you have doubt and you start sinking, He can get you up, put you in the boat, and get you to the other side.